love to pass away. For life presents us possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberties. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't treat me this way.
I'd rather die than be your slave. I will survive. And you feel my rage. It's not a question. They lay dead by me. Hit them hard, we made them pay that day. We hung the traitors from the highest tree. Sacrifice for God and country.
Still
held the ground that was in front of me. This was the price to pay for liberty.
Still you hear me say,
I'd rather die than be your slave.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, socialists and jackbooted thugs all around. We're back again. It's a brand new year, and the truth is still here. We know that you missed us last week, and we really know you missed us because we saw the listenership was down, and we're sorry about that, but it was a Christmas weekend or a holiday weekend or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, whatever the hell you want to call it, I really don't care. But we're back, and it's 2013. I cannot believe we're saying that, but it is Thursday, January the 3rd, 2013, and we went straight from the mirage that is called the fiscal cliff into a brand new Congress. Isn't that funny the way that works? And we'll talk a little bit about what happened today on the first day of the brand new Congress and meet the new Speaker of the House, the same as the old Speaker of the House, the boner himself, the crier, the traitor, Mr. Bonner from Ohio. Yep. Reelected, the same stinking speaker that we had before, John Bonner, the House Speaker, putting to rest that the Ohio Republicans' position was in jeopardy. You're listening to the Thursday Night Truth Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. We're going to go to the phone lines here shortly. If you want to join in, call now, 858-683-1326, or in the Louisville, Kentucky area, 502-805-0334. So the new Speaker of the House is the same as the old Speaker. All those threats that we heard about maybe somebody else getting elected was all just malarkey. Bonner begins the new session of Congress more vulnerable than he has been at any point in his speakership. And some GOP sources on the Hill were saying this afternoon that there could be a rare second ballot for Speaker in the event that you could get 16 Republicans with a backbone or with a set of balls to vote against the Speaker. But alas, they could not get 16 people to vote against the Speaker. They got a grand total of 10 people that would vote against the Speaker, and that wasn't good enough to get it to a second ballot. In the end, you had a total, well, you had one non-vote and nine Republicans defecting from Bonner, or out of the 426 votes cast, 220 voting to reelect the same ridiculous Speaker, putting him over the threshold of the 217 needed to win. But see, ironically, the really cool part here is of the defections, three votes went to House Minority Leader Eric Cantor, two went to a neocon Tea Party guy, Alan West, who isn't even in Congress anymore. I guess he would vote from home if that had become anything. And then you had a vote each for Representatives Raul Labrador, Justin Amash, and Jim Jordan. So we'll get into who voted for whom, and we had a brand new face in Congress today, and that is our own Thomas Massey. And Thomas Massey voted for Justin Amash for Speaker of the House. You see, people will tell you that, well, Massey and Amash are both acolytes of Ron Paul, and we miss Ron Paul in the House already. He's just left, and we're speculatively hopeful that Thomas Massey will become that kind of voice in the House of Representatives, as Ron Paul was in the past. Going to go straight to the phones. I think we got them calling in from deep beneath the bunker in the People's Republic of Vietnam. Are you with us, Frank?
Yes, I can't disclose how deeply I am in the bunker, but let's just say it will take a bunker buster missile to get me out of here.
Well, don't give them any ideas, Frank, but I just wondered if you had been watching the sideshow in the circus that was the opening of the 113th House of Representatives today.
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I had more mundane things to do, which is work on my shower. Sorry.
Well, you know, you must be one of those terrorists working on your shower. What do you got to hide in there anyway? basically, we had nine people, or ten if you count a non-vote, that stood up to Speaker Boner, as we call him, and we needed 16, I guess, to get to a second ballot. And like I said, one of the very first vote, I guess you would say, is a vote for a House Speaker, and that was the vote that our own Thomas Massey, I think he made us proud today. He went to Congress for the first day and immediately voted against the Speaker, so I thought that was kind of a good news.
I think that's very interesting. I have very, very high hopes for Mr. Massey, and it was my good fortune to work on his campaign and to get to spend a little bit of time with him and ask him some questions, and I think that it's very possible that he will fill the shoes, not completely, but he'll fill the shoes in a lot of key ways left behind by Ron Paul.
Well, I knew you did a lot of campaigning and volunteering for him, Frank, and that's why I want to make sure that we talk to you about Thomas Massey because I find the funniest thing, and I bring up another name drop, another guy that you and I are both familiar with. I'm reading today from a blog. We won't name the name of the blog, so we won't give him any free publicity. But I'm sure you're familiar with a guy who ran in a primary and pretty much got trounced in the primary against Mr. Thomas Massey, and that was one Marcus Carey. I'm sure you're familiar with this gentleman.
I hate to say, Dale, I'm sorry, but I'm not real familiar with Marcus Carey. I'm just there. You're going to have to fill me in. I'm lost.
That's okay. I'll be glad to do that. That's part of the job of the host and responsibilities here. Marcus Carey runs a blog, and he's a trial attorney, and he's been very involved in the Republican Party up in Northern Kentucky. And he was once the vice chairman of the state party in Kentucky, of the Republican Party of Kentucky, the RPK. He was one of those elite establishment guys, and he spent a long time. Say it again?
No wonder I don't know who he is.
Well, that's okay, but it's funny because he went straight to his blog today, his unnamed blog that we won't give him any free publicity, but he went straight to his blog today, and he said, I quote, and this blew me away, I had to laugh at this, he said that Thomas Massey's first day was an embarrassment to Kentucky because he didn't vote for the Speaker of the House, John Boehner.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, the establishment Republicans are an embarrassment to themselves. They're the only ones that don't know it.
Oh, I know. And listen to this. Listen to this explanation. He said, who did Thomas Massey vote for? Well, he voted for Justin Amash. He's the only one to vote for Amash. And who won? John Boehner, of course, because everyone knew he would. What did that accomplish by Thomas Massey voting against him? So he went on and on, waxing poetically ad nauseum here. And he said, get this, John Boehner is our neighbor to the north. He makes committee assignments. He controls which bills move up the agenda and has a lot to say about whether we get a bridge or the Ohio River. But our new congressman had to be different.
You know, there's so many things that I want to say about the establishment Republican. I have a friend that you know and I know that is a big-time establishment Republican here in Lexington. And he was talking about what a great team that Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell had become. And I said, yeah, other than the fact that Mitch votes against everything Rand votes for, you know, they're a great team, yeah. But the establishment Republicans have got to go. They're the biggest part of the problem on the conservative side. And I can't fix the Democratic side.
No.
I may be able to have an influence on the Republican side. Somebody on the left's going to have to fix the Democrat.
Well, this fiscal cliff diversion that we talked about, Frank, and you and I talked about it earlier off air, and in this vote, just like you said, Rand Paul came down on the right side against this stupid fiscal cliff vote, and Mitch McConnell, of course, voted for the vote.
There were only four Republicans in the Senate, four Democrats that voted the right way on that. And, of course, old Mitch, you can count on Mitch to vote the wrong way on any fiscal issue there is.
And in the House, they were divided in Kentucky, the congressional delegation, because you had voting with the fiscal cliff diversion were John Yarmuth of Louisville, Democrat 3rd District. You had Hal Rogers, who never met a pork project he didn't like, 5th District Republican. And you also had voting with them the outgoing lame duck Ben Chandler. Now voting on the right side, I call it the right side, against the fiscal cliff diversion with Senator Rand Paul on the across the aisle there in the House were Ed Whitfield, Brett Guthrie, and Thomas Massey. So I was glad to see they voted the right way, but I thought it was funny that Marcus Carey was saying this, that Massey's first day embarrassed Kentucky. I mean, again, I had to give a little background on Carey because he spent the entire campaign going to his blog and ripping Massey. If you watch these debates, it was like Massey against three or four people at once, and he ended up getting as much of a vote as three or four at once. But here's Sour Grapes Marcus Carey today writing, and he says, our new congressman had to be different. He had to show his fawning fans who know nothing about how the real world works that he isn't going to play by the rules. I thought you'd like that.
You know, talk about the real world, but the fact is this is not a physical cliff. We're on a physical roller coaster, and we've been plunging downward for 40 years, and at some point we're going to hit bottom, and there's not going to be any escaping. the debt spiral of our debt. I don't think there's any escaping it right now. I think we're permanently bankrupt. The only people that don't seem to know it is Congress, possibly the neocon Republicans, and we're at this point, in my opinion, we're doomed. That there's no hope for balancing the budget. There's no hope for escaping this debt, and it's just a matter of do we get sold out completely to the bankers and become enslaved by the banking establishment, or do we do what Iceland did and throw the bankers out of the country, maybe put them in prison?
Yeah. We need to throw the bankers out, definitely the affirmative on the latter, not the former. But these iconoclasts, they go around talking about the cliff, and I think it's ironic that they start talking about the cliff, because we've been saying here on the network, here at Ivy Marriage Network, for a long time, that we already had two cars going over a cliff, and the only difference was the Democrats was hitting the accelerator a little harder as they headed over the cliff than the Republicans. So they want to start talking about the cliff. So I was just amused when I went out and just randomly happened to catch Marcus Carey's piece today on his blog, because he says that Thomas Massie stomped his childlike foot through a little temper tantrum for his crowd and screwed the people he's supposed to be representing.
Well, he's spitting in the face
of the speaker, he says, figuratively speaking. Marcus Carey says that Thomas Massie spit in the face of John Boehner, and he was only one of a handful of malcontents to act out. And yet, I will have to admit that he accomplished one lifetime dream of his. He got to act like his hero Ron Paul and do something that will never get him. Yeah, you like that? And do something never get him anywhere.
God. Well, this idiot's going to have a lot to talk about in the coming years. Did I predict that Thomas will hold office for a long time, and that Thomas knows as much about economics as Ron Paul does? And unfortunately, so few people in Washington have any kind of clue how our economic system works, how our monetary system works, and it's a shame that we don't have more engineers like Thomas Massie in Congress, in the Senate and in the House.
Well, we were just saying about this fiscal cliff, the whole thing was a farce, and it's a diversion. The U.S. economy had already gone over the cliff and was falling at an increasing rate. Today's economic questions should be focused on its rate of descent. Will the rate increase, or will it be arrested before the rocks below are reached? I mean, after the election, the economy has continued to implode, but yet the downward plunge gets ignored by the mainstream media. And their orthodoxy is now centered on only the fiscal cliff, but it's difficult to find any economic data over the last few months or even years that's positive. I mean, you look at the statistical evidence, and it shows us that the economy is in a free fall, Frank.
Well, the only thing is that we have maybe going for us is that Europe's in just as bad a shape as we are. So we don't have to worry about Europe as much as I think as we have to worry about Asia. Asia actually has a sound, more sound financial system. They haven't started overprinting their currency the way the dollar and the euro have been overprinted.
Right.
And at some point, it's very likely that Asia will become the dominant economic sphere in the world.
Well, they have to.
And thing is, once you lose that, once you lose the power and the prestige that the U.S. used to have when we were on the gold standard and the silver standard, it's really going to be tough to get it back, because all we've got is paper. We don't produce anything that people want anymore. We don't have enough gold to cover our debt, and it's going to be a god-awful economy for future generations, for the foreseeable future. Until we get back to a gold and silver standard, or maybe some other commodity, it could even be food. We seem to be good at producing food if we just got away from the GMO stuff. If we would get rid of Monsanto and go back to heirloom seed and stuff like that, we would actually maybe possibly be able to have a food-based economy.
We can't get away from this ridiculous spending ourselves over the cliff, Frank, because we saw in the Drudge Report a couple of days ago that Bonner's big hailing moment was that he went along with this stupid fiscal cliff just charade that basically is going to have like $41 in spending for every $1 in tax cuts. And if we go back, I was at our Liberty on the Rocks inaugural meeting here in Louisville last night, and I told these people, look what the difference is. Just 20 years ago, they ran George Herbert Walker Bush, you know, Mr. I'm in the hospital now, George Herbert New World Order Bush. They ran him out on a rail because he went along with a plan that was like $2 or $3 to one. But Bonner is a big hero because he saved us by agreeing to $41 in spending for every $1 in tax cuts.
2.1 or 2.2%, yeah. Well, I don't understand how anybody thinks we can just spend ourselves, you know, to death when we're broke. In my house, when there's more money going out than coming in, we cut stuff. We get rid of the stuff we don't need, and we get back to just necessities. That's what we need to do in this economy too, is cut down to the core.
Yeah.
And get back to just essentials and then rebuild. It's awfully hard to save money. Really, really hard. And when you're in debt and you're spending more than you're taking in, you're never going to cut that debt down to size.
Yeah.
When I was in junior high school, it was a paltry $300 billion.
Oh, that's awesome.
A paltry $300 billion. If only it were that low now.
Well, the real debt, I mean, the thing about it is the real debt total includes these entitlement liabilities. You go back 2 years ago, Congress spent $3.7 trillion. That's about $10 billion per day. And the fact of the matter is that the dirty little secret for them, to tax the wealthy crowd up there on Capitol Hill, the fact of the matter is there are not enough rich people to come anywhere near close to satisfying this Congress's voracious spending appetite. And
you could tax the rich at 100% of everything they made, and it wouldn't pay away out of debt.
No, businesses and nonprofit enterprises by law are required to produce financial statements. We got a Congress that won't even produce a budget, mind you, but the federal government gets by without even having to provide transparency. The Treasury's balance sheet, it lists liabilities such as public debt, but it does not include the massive unfunded liabilities of Social Security, Medicare, and other federal future obligations. I mean, you look at Washington, they would have to collect $8 trillion in tax revenue not to pay off our national debt and have reserves against unfunded liabilities, but just to avoid accumulating more debts.
Well, they play such funny games with their statistics, too. You know, the cost of living stuff is a joke. When something goes up, they just take it out of the formula and replace it with something that's not going up. And the GDP is the same way, the gross domestic product. My understanding is that, you know, when they give out loans now, that counts as gross national product. So if you mow my yard and I mow and charge you $50 and you charge me $50 and we mow each other's yard, according to statistics, we've improved the economy by $100. But if we just mow our own yards, then the economy hasn't improved. Does that make any sense at all?
No, it doesn't. And basically what we have the United States doing is we're borrowing money from people including China, which that's the known one. But we borrow money from people like Canada. We borrow money from these other countries. Let's just stick to China. We borrow money from the Chi-Com.
We borrow money from Mexico. We borrow
I know,
money from Mexico.
I know. We borrow money from people like China and Mexico and Canada. Then we take that money we borrowed and spend it on weapons to give to Egypt and Israel to fight each other. So that's basically the way that it goes. I see we got another caller coming in, Frank, so we'll put you back in the queue for a second. Again, you are listening to the Thursday Night Truth Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. We're going to go right back to the phones as we talk about this phony fiscal cliff and John Boehner and his phony speakership going back to the Louisville airwaves. And I believe I know who this is. Caller, you're on the air.
Good evening, Dale. Paul Holliger here.
Paul, how are you doing, Paul?
Where'd Frank go?
Frank is right here. Frank, I think Paul is summoning you.
I'm
are you still
here.
There, Frank?
There he
oh,
is.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, guys, I want to pose this question. Hiya. I want to pose this question to both of you, okay? Where is it stated that I, as a member of this country, am obligated to pay for the debts incurred by other people?
I don't think it is stated, but I think that's the shell game or the sleight of hand that the banking system wants to try to pull. Once they have us in, you know, the country in debt, they're going to try to say we're all obligated for that debt. And I didn't sign any agreement to pay for that.
Yeah, that's my whole point, is they're saying that right now, Frank. They're saying that. And what I don't understand is where I'm obligated to pay your debt, or for that matter, the country's debt. Where am I obligated to do that? No one gave me a choice as to whether or not that's a particular item that I want to take on, okay? Now, if somebody wants to say that I'm receiving the benefits from all of this debt, then they're going to have to also say, prove to me where I signed up for the benefits. Where did I agree to receive the benefits? And the answer is, none of this is being. Go ahead.
My understanding is that their debt's covered by the T-bills. So basically, what you would have to do is just default on the T-bills and say, if anybody that bought a T-bill, sorry, we have nothing to pay you back with. That would be the end of it.
See, I do not, as much as I may care about my fellow human being, I do not particularly believe I have any legal obligation to pay your debt, either one of your debts. I don't. So,
gotta agree.
Using that argument, why are we, as a collective group of human beings that happen to be residents of the United States of America, the corporation, why are we automatically obligated to repay debt that's being racked up by a bunch of people called Congress that didn't ask us about it?
Well, we're not. Yeah, I mean, we're not obligated at all. That's the thing about that, Paul, is we're not obligated at all, but let's pretend for a minute they were providing a service. We know they're not providing anything that we want. They're not giving anything to us for this forced money that they take at the barrel of a gun. If you don't believe they take it at the barrel of a gun, try not paying your taxes, folks. But let's pretend like it was a good service they were providing for a moment. The government at all levels borrows billions, we'll call it OTA, out of thin air, billions of credit debt, and they stuck the children and the grandchildren with the interest in the payments. And children not even born are going to be born into slavery. It's colossal fraud, Paul.
Well, Neil, I believe that there's more people that have been resisting this effort than what is widely known. And I say that because since the mainstream media is, in fact, a tool of those who are racking
the accomplice,
this debt up,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not going to highlight, or they're not going to mention those individuals around the country, or those groups of individuals, for that matter, that are sitting there saying, enough's enough.
They borrowed so much as out of thin air money. It's not even real money they're borrowing. That it has long ago run out of any, like Frank said, any gold or silver to pledge as collateral on the debts. We talked about gold and silver, and starting in the Nixon administration, we're talking 40 years ago, natural resources are now used as collateral for the mounting debts, borrowing more money, promising more public lands as collateral. And these pledges were concealed behind, wait for it, environmentalism to disguise the real purpose. I mean, this is a slavery thing, plain and simple, in my mind, Paul. You have all these things back in the day. They promised these public lands as collateral. It all ties in together. It sounds like we're going off the plantation here. Oh, you're talking about money, and now you're talking about wildlife reserves? No, it all was used to conceal the true scale of the confiscation of your money, forcing people to sell their lands, paying them with unstable, depreciable money, buying less and less each year. And the end result is the same. Huge tracts of public land containing resources forced away as the bankers get richer and richer. We're going to go to our only break of the night. You are listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. If you want to get in quickly, the numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. We'll be right back. Lock and load.
Well, I moved into this room, if you could call it that, a week ago. I never do what I'm supposed to do, hardly even know my name anymore. No one calls it out, kind of vanishes away. And I can't get to sleep at night, the parking lot's so loud and bright, the AC hasn't worked. probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same to me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home. Drive through Talladega on a weekend in October. Head up north to Jacksonville. Cut around and over. Watch your speed for the spring. They ain't got a thing to do. They'll get you every time. Somebody take me home. Through those Alabama pines. Somebody take me home.
You want answers? You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry about that. A little technical difficulties. The black helicopter is getting a little bit too close to the air tracks here. You are listening to the Thursday Night Truth Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. And we were talking to our good friends Paul here in Louisville with Stop It. And Frank also was calling in from way deep inside the People's Republic of Vietnam. And we're talking about the fact that these trust funds under government control are being looted from the Social Security trust accounts and are given to federal retirement funds. Congress pays lip service to the looting of Social Security, but considers only more taxes to cover the looted shortfall. Meanwhile, you have all these court cases over other looted trust accounts dragging on without resolution. Are we able to refuse corrupt and dishonest government? Or are we simply just a nation of slaves, Paul? What say you?
Well, we've been a nation of slaves for a while. The question is, what's the end game? And I really don't have an answer on what the end game is. Okay. I just don't know what the end game is.
Well, the thing about it is, I say we're slaves because the ruling class does whatever the hell they want. They take what they want. They give back very little. And supposedly we're not supposed to refuse. That's why I said if you try not to give them what they want. We talked about this a few days back on Ed Springsteen's show. Alexander Haig was famous in the Reagan administration as saying, let people protest all they want as long as they keep paying their taxes, Paul. As long as they keep paying their taxes, they didn't give a damn, but they protested. And that's the whole thing. You have the freedom to decide what you want to do with your time. You know, people go out there and they're worried about the style of car they drive and what TV they're going to watch. But they don't really exercise any power or the important parts of their lives. Even the things they worked for decades to pay for can be taken at a moment notice via eminent domain or back taxes. And that's why I say we're simply slaves, Paul. I got Paul all choked up there, ladies and gentlemen.
They
put him in the gas chambers early.
Yeah.
We'll put you back in the queue there for a minute, Paul. We'll let you get yourself together before the black helicopters fetch you up. We're talking about the fake fiscal cliff. We're talking about John Boehner, as we call him here. And we're going to go back to another phone call, and I think we got another one of our friends here in the Louisville area. And the 376 prefix. Caller, who do we got here?
Hey, this is Andy. How's
Andy,
everybody
I thought
going?
It was your brother. How are you?
Hey, man, how was your vacation?
It was not bad. I wish it was a real vacation. We just stepped away from the Springsteen show, and I hate it when we do step away because Ed's ratings go way down. But we're back, and we're talking about these fake fiscal cliffs, Andy, and I didn't know if you've been following this charade called the opening of the 113th Congress.
Oh, this has been high drama over nothing. But you know what? You guys are talking about the ruling class. You really need to call them what they have truly evolved into in my mind. What we've done is we got a class of Caesar. And that's all it is. Now, it's nothing more, nothing less. They are literally morphing into demigods. And, you know, because when you can literally... I mean, if you look at the last, let's look at the last 45 days. There has been nothing but naked fear-mongering.
Yeah.
Whether it was, we need you, who's going to take care of us, who's going to keep us from getting killed by crazy people with guns? Will you go take care of us with the money? If it was all about money, how's a man going to fly out to Hawaii, cost us X amount of money, you going to fly back, then you going to go back again?
Well, he's got more vacations than anything we've ever seen, Andy, and it's the reason I said that we're slaves, because, again, we look at things coming out, and we know that there's a whole new movie out about slavery. We won't give them too much credit even to talk about the title, but these movies and the government indoctrination camps we call public schools, they like to portray slaves as bound in chains and beaten with whips, and they create this polarized image of a slavery that can be pointed to, and they can say, hey, we're not like that today. We're not slaves. But history shows us that slaves can be treated in all manners of ways, some more cruel than others, Andy. And wouldn't we make the argument, Paul and I were talking, and Frank was in here, and couldn't we make the argument that the slavery of the mind that they put us in is much more of a medieval serfhood than simple chains?
Well, see, like I said, being one of the official black guys that called
yep.
in here, see, most of my people have never, ever cast off the chains of emotional slavery.
Right.
Okay. And that's what you're talking about here. When you're being jacked around, I mean this is high drama.
Yep.
You got people around here literally paralyzed. I mean, okay. What happened 2 weeks ago? Here it is, Christmas was over. And I mean they were beating the drum. All people are standing in line, people are fighting.
Yep.
And if you were on vacation, I don't know if you left the state, but
No, I was around. I was around, but you're right.
Okay.
They were beating the drums about the fear factor. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you saw, like I said, you can always tell when crisis come back in the black community, or there's been a new Jordan release. We are staying outside in the rain.
Priorities, right?
And you know, you got that kind of foolishness. But then once the dust settled, this was a poor sales outcome. You know, we just didn't do. Oh, damn it! You've done everything except give it away. Okay.
Well,
now,
yeah.
in a lot of cases, you did everything but give it away. Now, when I'm, and I don't have a problem with competition. Competition improves the breed. I don't have a problem with that. But
right. This
is what I'm concerned about is this: everybody wants decisions to be made either under duress.
Yep.
Or which is feared to me. Let's pass the gun law. Ain't no gun law you could pass. You could have foreseen what that young man was going to do. It's just that simple.
No, we talked about the gun laws. I mean, we even talked about the fact John Yarmuth, the congressman, all his infinite knowledge here in Louisville, Kentucky, he stood there and said that no gun laws would have stopped these crimes, and we're supposed to believe these are these lone gunman incidences, and we've already talked about the stuff that the mainstream media won't touch, Andy. But John Yarmuth, our congressman in these parts, stood there and said, no gun laws are going to stop this, but we need more of them anyway.
Right. Now, see, to me, what that is, that's much to do about nothing.
Yep.
That's much. Now, why can't these elected officials say, you know what, we'll put the flag at half mast, we can have a day of mourning, we can have a week of mourning, but the truth of the matter, for people who have any religious belief, this falls dead in their lap. You have to go out here and actually appeal to your fellow human. You have to appeal to the darkness that lives in man's soul. It's just that simple.
That's why I said we're slaves. I mean, that's why I said I think that we're slaves in our own right. And I think Frank's still over there in the bunker. Frank, do you hear what? I'm talking to Andy from the black side of town here. And wouldn't you say, Frank, that this is how we define slavery, what they've done to us in this country?
Well, it's they talk about it with the road to serfdom. And, you know, you've got the theory that John Kennedy was getting ready to disclose the whole plan for the New World Order. He talked about there was a plan to enslave all of us. And I do believe it's the banking system, enslavement by debt. And the best analogy I've heard is what we're experiencing is a leveraged buyout of the entire country using our own money against us.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that, Andy.
Well, like I said, that may be, but you know what I do know? And this is why I got a problem with all these so-called, these gun-phobic people. You done gave up your right to just to self-protection on so many levels. I mean, when they come for you, what you going to do? Are you just going to take the cyanide pill and be done with it or what? I mean, cause I don't understand, you know, because we were talking about this today, is that, we're talking about them between liberty and freedom, and I'm thinking they're intertwined. How do you separate one from the other?
Okay. Well, the reason I say they were slaves, again, got to that, hark on that point, is because free people can say no. Free people can refuse demands for their money and their time and their resources. Slaves cannot. And there's no freedom without the freedom to say no.
As a general rule, slaves don't have anything of value that they got to negotiate with. It's already been taken from them.
Yep.
Okay. So, see, the problem what you got here now is this whole argument, from my perspective, is what do you, you know, when you got a president that really believes he's been given a green light to do whatever he wants to do. You know what I mean? He don't even have to give the illusion.
No, it's just executive order. You don't have to go through Congress. I mean, Bill Clinton said with these executive orders, you know, strike of the pen, law of the land. It's kind of cool is what Bill Clinton said.
Right. So, I mean, it's becoming, this is what I'm saying. You know, we've talked about it since I've become aware of you guys. There's no civic classes. So how do you know when something's crossing the line? How do you know when these people are really, you know, putting it right there, those sphincter muscles? You know, most of us don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sit down and talk to people, like I said, my people, they've just been on the tit of the government for so long, a lot of us. we've never been free. We were turned loose. And then we got here, and Lincoln said it. I'm telling you, Lincoln said it. We control their fortune by military and administrative means.
Yeah.
Well, if it worked good for one group of people, we done already been. What is it, the beta test? Now, just turn it loose on everybody.
Well, okay. They don't want to do anything the constitutional way, and I'll throw this one out there, too, for you, Andy, and Frank. The idiots over there in the New York Times, the old gray lady, as they call it, they put out an op-ed today, if you can believe this, called Let's Give Up on the Constitution. Don't fall over off your chair for this one, Frank. But they basically said that we need to give up on the Constitution, and basically their conclusion was that the Constitution is causing all our problems because not the Federal Reserve, the banker bailouts, nope, none of that. This scholar over at the New York Times today said that it's not the complete destruction of the rule of law. Nope, it's got to be that these founding documents created the fertile breeding grounds for freedom and free markets. The Constitution has to be the problem.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the thing is, you go back to Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, they said they solemnly swear to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. But these idiots come out there, you see these morons like Pierce Morgan, he gets out here on CNN and he's telling us how our Constitution is flawed, and then he came out and regardless of what people think about religion, he said that the Bible should be amended. So are they just trying to get their 15 minutes of fame? Are they just cheap media whores? Or do they believe what they're saying?
No, look, you got to understand something now. Once again, this is how you paralyze a nation.
No.
See, this is that this is almost a Trojan horse.
Yep.
No, actually, no. What? Genghis Khan did this. He would just surround a city, and just he wouldn't even set siege to it. He would just set up in the hills and build fires, and people would go, "My God, there's millions of them," and they literally would start. They would become paralyzed. And they would start killing themselves inside the city. I mean, because, you know, when the Romans couldn't pay homage to him anymore, he would just say, I show you what, you're going to pay me one way or the other. And that's what it boils down to. These people have come to the conclusion that morality is a burden. Just be honest. Like I say, and I'm not a Bible thumper by any stretch of the imagination. But if you don't believe in something, where do the safeguards for any society come from? got at least a common belief in something.
Right, and they've tried for a long time, Andy, to pit it one side against the other, and they love to do the two sides like it's a sporting event. They love to come back and say, hey, it's black versus white, it's poor versus rich, and one side will say it's socialism on the other side, and the other side will say, no, it's fascism on the other side, and they love to play both sides against each other because the corporate state, the capitalism, the communism, it was all created there as a distraction. They brought this out from the globalist, and everything they did was to try to distract us. That's the bottom line, is to bring this stuff up. It wasn't for our own good. It wasn't that they truly believed that there was any difference from one side than the other. But the fascism was described as believing in a corporate state, and the socialism was believing in the state. So what was the difference? It was this fake left-right paradigm, and they want you to think that there's some difference. But there's no difference at all. Now we will go to this very brief My View Matters break in the show. Be right back.
Oh, being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So we were going into the break there. We're coming into the downstretch here of the show. And Frank and Andy and Paul, we appreciate all of them calling in. But the corporate state versus the welfare state, when you look at the way they try to put this out here to you, it's unfettering the Federalist. I mean, you got this fascist dictatorship. It doesn't matter what the hell name you call it. It doesn't matter what description you want to throw on it. I said that we were becoming slaves because the ruling class can do whatever they want to do. They can take whatever they want, and you cannot refuse. And the further examples I use of that is, give me three things that you can do without first, A, getting a permit or licenses from the government, submitting your Social Security number, or even paying a fee or a tax. So how are you free to do a damn thing if you had to get permission through a permit or a license or pay a fee or a tax? We'll go back to the airwaves quickly here in this downstretch of the program here on the Thursday Night Truth Show, My View Matters Radio Network. Back in Louisville, I think we got another one of our friends in the 805 prefix. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, it's Mayo.
Hey, Mayo, how are you doing, brother? We're just all over the place talking about this fake fiscal cliff and what I call the really the fiscal slavery. What say you?
Well, I mean, just history. You know, people that don't study it are doomed to repeat it. And, I mean, you know, the one thing you said earlier, I've been saying it for years, you know, the Republicans haven't had any backbone.
Nope.
And the Democrats run out of ideas. The Democrats' idea has been to throw money at a problem and maybe it'll go away, but that's how they got their, power from, took away, like, the Republican majority, you know, late 60s, et cetera.
Yep.
And the thing that kills me is, I mean, I read history, look at stuff, look at the speeches, you know, Martin Luther King and that, and compared to people today, white or black, how many of them will actually do like you and Ed do and get off their, you know, behinds,
yep,
and go do something or march? And it seems to me, you know, Martin Luther King, leaders that were actually there at the time,
right,
that marched for the freedoms that people,
yep,
have today, would be rolling over in their graves what society is or where it has become or the views of the people that they thought that they were helping. I hate to use,
yeah,
a YouTube video, but the Obama phone lady, you know, kind of.
Oh,
deal.
Yeah,
we
played her on the air. Wasn't she great? The Obama phone ladies, they asked her where the phone was going to come from. Obama's just going to give her this money, and, well, who's paying for it? It doesn't matter, Obama. It's all the phone you can eat, and it's all you can eat phone buffet. And this is why we talked about with Andy or Frank or Paul. This is why Mayo that we talked about slavery, and I'm stuck to that harking of that issue because
they're creating the institution of slavery by keeping the people on the the dole or the breast of the government.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and it's like they it's like, okay, turn off the reality TV and look at where you are. You know, I mean, Martin Luther King, everything, the people that marched with him, they took responsibility, for their lives. Gandhi,
right.
The people around Gandhi, they took responsibility for what was going on around them. I mean, anybody, that's what kills me. And then all these people say, oh, well, you owe me. And I'm going, I don't owe you anything. You got the right to breathe. Other than that, anything else you get in this life, you create. Either through your hard work, your skills, your effort, the sweat off your brow, your ingenuity, something, you know.
They're confusing. They're conveniently confusing, Mayo, the opportunity to have the pursuit of happiness with actual happiness. See, nobody guaranteed you any damn happiness in this Constitution, the same document that the old gray lady and the dead newspapers want to get rid of. Of course they want to get rid of the Constitution because it tells us that we should be in a free press. It tells us that we are the printing press, not the big conglomerate media. And sometimes these chains, we appreciate you, Mayo, and sometimes these chains are not always visible. Sometimes these chains that we have on us are made of steel and they're obvious. But sometimes they're made of beliefs, and they're not as recognizable. And I know the Hitler argument loses you the argument, they say, but Hitler enslaved the German people to a war with a belief that Poland was about to invade. And President LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, enslaved the American people to war with the belief that Vietnam had attacked the USS Maddox in the Gulf of Tonkin. Poland wasn't invading Hitler. And there were no torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. But slaves led by chains of belief went to war, and millions died. If we see that Germany is winning, we ought to help Russia. If we see Russia is winning, we ought to help Germany. That way, let them kill as many as possible. That was Harry S. Truman in a speech given 71 years ago. You see, if you go back one decade, folks, the chains started to become more visible. The constitutional right to freedom of speech was confined to free speech zones. We talked about the night that they had a debate, the only vice presidential debate this year, and our good friend Ken Moman, who does the Sunday night show, was down there at the debate, but he was limited to the free speech zone. You see, a slave may have an opinion so long as it's not expressed to where it might upset the other slaves. The Founding Fathers said the First Amendment was meant to protect offensive language, offensive speech. They said if it wasn't offensive, it wasn't arguable, it wasn't debatable, then it wouldn't need protected. It wouldn't need you to have a First Amendment. The constitutional right of armed people, which the men who set this up, nation up with free people hoped would keep them free, is under constant attack for those who fear a nation of free people. It will continue to be under constant attack as long as we allow themselves to be wusses and don't stand up and don't show any balls and be willing to defend ourselves with the animal instinct that we were given. You see, the reason there was a Second Amendment was to allow people to say no. If you're not a slave, you can say no. And the thing about that, the police state government searches, the police state government goes through right records, they go through private records without cause, without warrants. I guess they keep the warrant in their shoe like Sheriff Buford Pusser. But simply by declaring an enemy terrorist of a citizen, the government locks up U.S. citizens without a charge and without an attorney. We can be prevented from traveling simply for having the wrong name, no credit card. Go ask Richard Jewell what it was like being in the wrong place in Atlanta in 1996. If we purchase too much gold or take home too many goods, the government will take notice. Hell, having a farmer's almanac is now a reason to be suspicious. Talking about the Constitution is deemed grounds to suspect a terrorist link. Refusing the poison needle vaccines and seeking national health remedies will be subject to jail and fines. You see, torture is now espoused as necessary to deal with the crisis. It's always a crisis. We got a war on poverty. We got a war on drugs. We got a war on terrorism. Were we able to refuse those changes to the Constitution? Hell no. We're not able to refuse them because we're slaves. You see, I talked about the ruling class, and more harm is caused to our nation by those claiming to save us from the fabricated boogeyman. Remember the boogeyman not too long ago was a guy over in a cave with flies around his face in Afghanistan? That boogeyman was going to get you. How many of you were really worried about the boogeyman? How many of you believed the hype? Or how many of you were more concerned about what your own government was doing? You see, that fabricated boogeyman that Bush claimed was going to get us because they hated our freedoms, it took away more of our freedoms. Not only are we slaves, not only are we starting to see that we've been slaves for a long damn time. Like Paul said earlier, we've been slaves for a long time. We had rights at some point, but then they all of a sudden came along and took them away. Well, if there was a right, it could not be taken away. Well, we have our indulgences granted by the masters to the slaves. What we have are to be removed when the masters grow fearful of the slaves' resentment and anger. You see, this is depressing to ponder, but many of millions of Americans have lost their homes. And we have friends over in Lexington who've lost their businesses and have them ransacked and destroyed and looted. And they had the labors of a lifetime evaporated by government theft, stock market manipulations, and crooked insiders. You see, people worked hard to achieve this American dream, and they lost it all through no fault of their own. We have these government indoctrination camps called public schools that are broke. We have these hospitals that are understaffed. And we have roads and bridges that are falling apart while billions of dollars in unseen money is given away to foreign nations. You see, the priorities of our government that feed on taxes, they focus everywhere except for us, those who pay the taxes. And we can't refuse that either because we're the slaves. There's all these phony attacks. Yes, I said it. You're going to have phony attacks. And you're going to have this government getting larger and larger, whether you like it or not. These phony attacks are a huge success for the insiders' plans of population reduction. And their grand experiments are prevailing. You get to decide, folks. Do you want to be a slave or do you want to be a free man? If you want to be a free man, then get off of the government's teeth and stop taking what they give you and realize you should stand up and work for it yourself. Don't let them oppress you. Don't let them tell you it's left versus right or black versus white or poor versus rich. It's you versus the government. Stand up to them in the end and tell them death to your new world order. Have a good night, folks.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing, multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around.
You want answers? You want answers? You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!